Instead of, you know, asking what is the meaning of life, I think people should ask themselves, you know, how can I make my life meaningful? So that it doesn't matter whether you live like 100 years old, or maybe, you know, 20, 30, 40 years old, years of your life, as long as you know, your life, if you live a meaningful life, then doesn't matter how long you live.
Hello and welcome to Curious Ones podcast by Andara. I'm Yael Ginsberg, the host of the podcast, a yoga and meditation teacher and philosophy lover. Each week you will hear eye-opening interviews with the different teachers of the Andara Yoga Institute, located in beautiful Baja, Mexico, along with other teachers that pass through here. This life-changing knowledge shared through authentic, heartfelt communication will help you live a happier, more fulfilled, and connected life. Let's dive in. I'm so honored to have my guest today, Lopan Tashi. Tashi is a Buddhist monk from Bhutan who now lives in El Pescadero here in Baja California, Mexico, where he is the director of the Enlightenment Stupa and Community Center Project. He completed 9 years of studies of Buddhist philosophy at Shechen Monastery in Nepal, where he lived for 17 years. And in the last 10 years, he's been living here in Mexico. So thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
Of course, it's my honor. Well, I would like to start with a funny story that I heard.
Okay. I'm very curious. Now, I'm in a curious podcast, and so I'm very curious. What's that?
Oh, good start. I heard that the border control didn't believe you that you are not Mexican, and I heard you had to do some martial arts or something like that.
Yes, and also, yeah, I remember, like, you know, once I was traveling from Mexico City to Guadalajara, because and I had to renew my visa, and I left my passport at in Mexico City in the immigration office, and I went back in a bus. You know, which is like 6-7 hours.
Oh no.
And so in the highway something happened, and we were stopped there, and then the police came and they're like, show me your passport. And I said, I left my passport at immigration. I have to go back in two weeks. And like, you know, this, it was so hot, it was summer in the middle of nowhere, and he said, like, come out. And I went out, and he said, the police, three of them, they saw me in the monk's robe, and he said, he just totally forgot the passport thing. And he said, like, can you show us? Do you do kung fu? I said, I'm not a Chinese, right? Like, I said I don't. And they were like, no, don't tell us lie. You know, show us kung fu, some kung fu tricks. So I didn't know, you know, like, so I said, okay, I want to get out of this heat. It was so hot. So I did, like, I went, climb up to the pavement, you know, like this. I just jumped. And so they were like, really, okay, you go now, and next time come back, and you have to give us more lesson. I said, thank you. So I survived.
Oh, amazing. You had it somewhere in yourself.
Yeah, and like, you know, I can, you know, somehow to escape, escape the arrest of, you know, because I was like, yeah, I thought I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. But so somehow I got out.
You made it. Amazing. Amazing. Okay, so now to start the serious questions. Well, it's just, I would love to hear about kind of your story about how you became a monk.
Well, I was, I think it's a long story, long time ago. So I grew up in a family, you know, a Buddhist family. But you know, none of my parents or family were monk, but they were practitioner, and so I had this, you know, heart of, you know, I was always surrounded by people like in my village where I grew up as a little boy. So when I was very small, and I was 10 years old, and I had always wanted to go to, I was really bored with the school. So I thought like maybe going to a monastery would be something different. So I always wanted to go to join a monastery. And I didn't know, you know, I thought monastery would be like, you know, eat, meditate, pray, and then, you know, sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It was totally different. You have to study a lot because, so it was even much harder than a school. So at 14, I went to school. I went to join the monastery with my teacher in India for 2 years. And then I went to Nepal for the 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it had been a long journey, and I'm glad.
Yes.
It happened.
Are you?
I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing I did.
Mm-hmm.
Becoming a monk, joining a monastery, coming to Nepal from Bhutan from a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
It was difficult, challenging, but it's something very joyful.
Really? Being a monk?
Yes.
What about it?
It's so much freedom. Mm-hmm. Freedom to practice. Freedom in almost in everything. And it's just refreshing every day. Now you wake up and wow, like I'm in that state in my life that, you know, I don't have to worry too much about, you know, in many things, you know. And I never thought about that. I was like, I'll, you know, and when you are young, and most of the time, even here now, they think a monk has, you know, they just eat, pray, sleep, meditate. But I know now I realize, like, I have much more to do, many more. And, you know, I'm very happy that I'm able to be realized this now and being able to live with all the teachings. And I met over the years, I met so many wonderful, remarkable, interesting, and amazing teachers, beings, you know, especially in the spiritual world,
mm-hmm.
you know, and also in the outer world also, and the Western world, but most importantly, that has inspired me is the spiritual world, like spiritual, great, amazing teachers, you know. And then I've been able to travel many places that I would never thought that I would be able to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And being here in Baja is also because I'm a monk. Otherwise, like if I'm married or kids, or I would be stuck somewhere, you know.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. Something I find interesting about what you said is that you find a lot of freedom in the life of a monk. And it's interesting because actually what we know is that a life of a monk is very disciplined. You have to wake up early, you have to study all day. Well, maybe have to is not the right word, but you wake up early, you study all day. There is a lot of traditions of how you do things. So how do you find freedom in the structure?
Very important question. Discipline has a, in the West, discipline has a very negative connotation,
mm-hmm.
understanding. And discipline in the West is like, you know, putting yourself in a structure box, you know,
mm-hmm.
you put that you have to do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, 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 this.
Mm-hmm.
In Buddhism, discipline should always come with joyful effort. It should come with joyful effort, not with the order and putting yourself pressure,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, oh, I have to do this, or I have to do this. In Buddhism, discipline should always come with joyful effort. And when you do joyful effort, then it becomes, you know, you are not controlled, you don't feel control, you don't feel pressure, because you know that whatever you're doing has a sense of direction and there's a benefit. And that is, when you do that, when you are able to do that, then it's a freedom. Mm-hmm. For example, just an example, like waking up, for example, I never use alarm all my life. I know that I have to wake up 5 a.m. in the morning every day, and I always wake up 5 a.m. Wow. No matter, but I never use alarm, and I know I have to, and it's a joy, you know, joy that it's like, you know, you don't, oh, I have to wake up. It's not in the night before. I have to wake up at 5. Oh, I have to sleep early or put an alarm. You know, and then you say, oh, when you, the alarm sound, and then you're like, oh,
yeah.
I missed. I have to sleep, you know, a few more. Mm-hmm. You don't feel that. You know? Mm. So that's why there's a freedom, because there's a joy. Oh, wow, I wake up, and then now I'm going to practice. Now I'm going to do my prayer. Now I'm going to do my exercise. Now I'm going to do, so there's a joy, you know, joy. And so, and it, you know, it's an effort, but also so much joy. And that is freedom for me.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of focus on what the action will bring you, and not on, you know, maybe like not really wanting to do it in the moment. Yeah.
There should be a goal, but the most important is you have to, you know, have the direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to, and that's, and then, you know, you take it as a journey, and you don't worry about the goal, because as long as you take the journey,
mm-hmm.
so then it, you will get there somehow, and that's, you know, that's the journey is the important, right?
Of course. Like,
so that to take the journey, you need a discipline, and discipline should always be with joyful effort, not putting pressure, being very strict with yourself. You know, that's why how young people feel nowadays, right? You're always like, put it in a, your life is so sophisticated, complex, that you put it in a box, structured. Mm-hmm. And that's why you don't enjoy it. When you don't enjoy it, then it's like, you know, it's like you feel like a punishment.
Yeah. So do you feel that is because we choose to do things that are coming from a wrong motivation?
Not wrong. I wouldn't say wrong motivation. I think sometimes we lose that sense of direction. There's always a good motivation. I think, you know, whether it's a short term or long term, but I think sometimes we lose, you know, there's a motivation, but then as you do it, you know, you lose that.
Mm-hmm.
You lose that because, you know, we have so many, we like to do so many things, you know. We have so many options. We have so many of, you know, that things to wanting to do. If you don't have one focus, focal direction, goal, then, you know, it's just like, you know, giving a young person in the West, like, you know, like, oh, when I'm 18, I can do whatever I like,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then if you don't have a sense of direction, you can do whatever, you know, you drink, you get drunk, you do drug, or, you know, you can easily lost. And that is not a freedom,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's out of control. A freedom should be joyful effort, and that is what, you know, we need to. And, you know, sometimes we lose that. I'm going to give you an example.
Please.
Like, for example, I love running.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a runner, and I've seen, you know, so many friends, you know, like they run they run when they do the preparation training when they have, okay, I'm going to run a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And then they prepare for the marathon. And then when they finish that, the marathon, and they don't run.
Mm.
Right? And, you know, there's nothing bad. But then, you know, you feel then, oh, what should I do now? Right? And for me, running is whether there is a marathon or not, I run every day.
Every day?
Yeah. I run every day. I don't worry about the marathon, that I have a marathon or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I run every day because I love it. I love running marathon. I love running, going out running every day. And I don't worry about, you know, I have a race.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, to run, they have to have, you know, oh, I have to run a marathon. And they register, do the registration to run, and then they prepare, train for that. And once they finish this, and they say, what should I do now?
Yeah. Right?
So they look for another marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And then another, and it can be quite exhausting.
Because it's like chasing after a goal all the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I need to run marathon, New York, Los Angeles, and then, you know, Mexico City. And so there's always like, you know, and always, so,
mm-hmm.
I think, so we have to see, you know, what's most important,
mm-hmm.
what gives you joy.
Mm. And directing the joyful effort towards the thing that brings you joy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then in that you find the freedom.
Yes, and that is a freedom because then you're doing it and you're enjoying it.
Mm. Wow, I can't imagine enjoying running.
I mean, just like any action, any activities, running is an example, but mm-hmm. any.
Yeah, it's a great example because it's something that maybe in the moment you don't really feel like doing it, but in the long run, you know that it gives you joy.
Yeah. Satisfaction.
Yeah. And is that what brings you freedom?
Yes, I think that's a total freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And even practice, right? Then it's just like, you know, somebody says, oh, like, I have friends that say, oh, like, how can you wake up at 5? Because, you know, like, I have to sleep 8 hours. And how can you know, there's no way I can, you know, I will be grumpy, I'll be mad, I will be angry with everything if I wake up at 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That, and you know, it makes sense because when you don't have that discipline, then you know everything becomes negative.
So it's really thinking about the long run, right?
Yeah, it's really thinking about actually the benefit, the benefit you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. And when you speak about sense of direction, what do you mean? Direction towards a goal? No.
Yeah, I mean direction towards the goal. You have to have a goal. And you know what your practice is going to bring to you, right? Even in your life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, for example, somebody who do you know, like tequila,
mm-hmm.
right? Who drinks tequila? Who, you know, if you want to become alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
you have to. Drink, you have to know how to drink alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you drink in one day this bottle of alcohol, you know, you will all night, you'll get sick, you'll vomit, and then the next day you'll say, I'll never drink again because you're sick.
Yeah,
you know, it made you sick. But instead, if you drink, you know, every day as a glass of, you know, alcohol, whiskey, you know, next day, every day, if you do that, you don't even realize that you have become alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No? And that means, you know, so that's a discipline, you know, every day, one shot, you know, one glass. By the time you realize you are alcoholic.
Yeah.
Because there's a joy, you know, like you think you're not drinking much because it's a one glass.
Mm-hmm.
But if you drink one at a time, everything, then, you know, you'll say, I'll never drink alcohol because it made me sick.
Right. That's a great point that you bring up there. So if you do a small action every time and you do it consistently, then sooner or later you will see that it already has become part of
your part habits. Of who you are.
Yeah.
And likewise, it can be in the meditation, it can be in any practices that is a consistent training, consistent practice. You know, you need a consistent, not like just one day. Yeah, likewise, you know, you don't become a marathon runner in one day, right? You have to prepare for months and months and months, every day, few hours, and then you become a runner, a marathon runner.
Yeah.
And likewise in the gym, you know, you want to gain muscle, you want to lose weight, you have to have joy, right? People, I saw in Mexico City, there are, you know, 24 hours gym. There's a gym that says 24 hours open.
Wow.
So that, you know, people train. And people don't sleep because they know I'm going to lose weight, right?
So they see that as kind of the motivation.
Yeah. So that's a sense of direction that you you get, right? Like, okay, if I do, I spend a few hours in the gym, you know, I will see some changes, losing some fat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's something that you said that I really resonated before. I remember when I was 20 and I was just finishing the army in Israel. And in Israel, everybody does the army after school. It's like part of the system. And once you finish the army, that's when you are really open and you have all the options. And I just remember this feeling. It was so scary because I was finished with all the programs that I knew that somebody else told me that I'm going to do. And suddenly I had this freedom to choose where I want to go, but it was so scary because, you know, there are so many options. I didn't know where to start. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you found your sense of direction.
Well, you know, like everything, all the circumstances have to come together, right? Like, you know, you have to find a teacher, you have to find a guide, you know, you have to find a support, you have to have also, you know, you have to find what you want, you know, and that's, you know, like the sense of purpose should be there. And once you find it, then, you know, no matter what are the obstacles, you know, what are the difficulties or hardship, you have to have that determination to carry on. And for example, like, you know, I've learned that sometimes people ask, you know, what is, you know, like even in there when they're 50s, 60, 70 years old, people, they, you know, you can see they're lost, you know, like, you know, I've done this and that, I have PhD, I have 3 PhD, I have a doctorate, and then, you know, and still they ask, you know, what is the meaning of life? You know, and they're lost. And so I think, and I, you know, I feel, you know, instead of, you know, asking what is the meaning of life, I think people should ask themselves, you know, how can I make my life meaningful? And when I say that, you know, and it could be so that it doesn't matter whether you live like 100 years or 100 years or maybe, you know, 20, 30, 40 years old, years of your life, as long as you, you know, your life, if you live a meaningful life, then it doesn't matter how long you live.
Yeah.
What is the, you know, whether you live 80 or 20, you know, it doesn't matter. Because here, you know, this quality of the life is the most important, not looking for something magic to happen.
Yeah.
So when I say meaningful, it means something meaningful, you know, making your day, your moment meaningful is something beneficial to you and beneficial to others. There's this sense, it becomes a sense of purpose of living. No?
Yeah, that's a beautiful way of looking at it. So really, when we choose to kind of which path we want to go on, because this is something that I feel very passionate about, our path that we go down, and also our occupation, because it's such a big part of our lives. So I think that's a beautiful point to, when you have to make these decisions, because we make them over and over, right? It's not just one decision, to really think, how can I make my life meaningful to myself and to others?
Yeah. So yes, you know, instead of asking what is the meaning of life, I think it's like, how can I make my day meaningful?
Mm.
It doesn't matter, you know, how far, but as long as you live and, you know, in meaningful, then that itself becomes meaningful.
Yeah. It can be even smaller, yes, choices, like,
yeah,
my next thing, my next hour.
Yes.
Yeah.
And fullest, there's a sense of fulfillment in that way, and that brings joy. Mm. And, you know, and it helps, and you know, the life worthwhile.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Thank you. Thank you for myself, I'm saying. Thank you. It's beautiful. Hey, I'm quickly interrupting the episode to extend an invitation. If you are interested in deepening into any of the subjects we talk about on the podcast, we offer many different experiences on our beautiful grounds here in Baja, Mexico. From 9-day modules such as sound healing and yoga nidra, to breath and meditation, as well as 200 or 300-hour yoga teacher trainings, and many different shorter retreats. Check out our website, yandara.com, to see all the information about the different experiences. Let's get back to the episode. You know, something that came up for me when you were speaking is that it reminds me of also what happens when we experience a death of a loved one, about finding the meaning in their life. And I know that the Buddhist tradition has a lot of importance to death and the experience of death. So maybe you can speak about that a little bit.
You know, in Buddhism, death is a part of the life.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, in Buddhism, we talk a lot about impermanence, right?
Right.
We talk a lot about impermanence. We're not ashamed of talking about impermanence, because it's a part of the natural process of the, you know, part of the reality, that because, you know, everything that's born, everything that is comes together, everything that is compounded, everything that has aggregates is going to disintegrate.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that is built will collapse. Everything that comes together will separate, disperse. And so that likewise, like, you know, everything that's born will die, has an ending. So you know, in especially in Buddhism, so we take death as a process, or one stage is a part of the stage of the change, transformation. So, but then it's difficult to accept, because, you know, we humans, we are attached.
Mm.
There's a very strong attachment to our loved ones, our dear ones, and sort of becomes, you know, we entangle so tight that, you know, it's difficult to let go, and when we let go, then it's a lot of pain, suffering, sadness, and, you know, like it's very there's a, you know, strong it's a difficult to this let go, and that's why it's, you know, it's death is a big what you call. There's a fear, fear of, and you know, for the dear ones, right, like our closest one, daughter, partner, you know, everyone, but we all have to go, whether mm-hmm. you are king, you are queen, you are beggar, you are richest man on earth, or you are poorest, doesn't matter, you know, we all have to go through this stage. Mm-hmm. And so that's in Buddhism, death is a part of the process once you are born, and it's very certain.
Right.
It's very certain you will die, but the truth is we don't know when.
Mm.
We don't know when, where, at what moment, in what circumstances we will die. Mm-hmm. That's very uncertain.
Yeah.
But it's very certain there's a death. And if we are confident, then you know it won't be so much of. If we have lived our life fullest, then death won't be that dramatic.
Mm. If but, we live a meaningful life.
Yeah, yeah. Because, but if we have not lived a meaningful life, then, you know, then there's anger. There's I've met many people who are in the last stage of their life with, you know, they don't want to die. They don't want to let go. There's anger. There's guilt. There's love. You know, it's a pretty dramatic and sad and painful.
Mm-hmm. Because they haven't lived a meaningful life.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. They have cheated, or they have. There's, you know, so yes, it's not a. Not there's no serene. No, that mm-hmm. it's not a peaceful. But
feeling. Yeah.
Yes, and so. If you have lived a meaningful life, a spiritual life, then, you know, death is a very natural. Death is like a, you know, when you go to bed in the night, you change your, take off your cloth of the day. In Buddhism, we say, death is like that. It's just like changing a cloth.
Mm. Wow.
Changing a cloth, you change your cloth, you go to bed, you go to sleep. Like was in Buddhism, we say death is like that.
Wow!
But it's difficult to for us. It's so painful to accept.
Yeah, we're even afraid to talk about it in the West.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, don't talk.
Yeah,
it's a bad sign.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And in Buddhism, it's more of a spiritual practice, right?
Yeah, we celebrate.
Mm.
We don't for example in Bhutan, where I come from, we don't, you know, this. I have never seen someone celebrating a birthday. We celebrate life. We mm-hmm. celebrate death.
Mm-hmm.
We don't celebrate. I don't remember. We don't celebrate birthday.
Really?
We celebrate death.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
No birthdays?
I've never celebrated my birthday.
Really? Oh, wow. But it's so fun.
Yeah, I know, but you know, but also if you are celebrating birthday, you should be also able to celebrate that day.
Yes, yes, that's beautiful. I think that's, you said so many important things about really taking, it's really just changing our clothes. It's just passing on to a different form of ourselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think a part of it that is really hard for us to deal with is really the attachment that we have. So can you speak a little bit about how we kind of release that attachment?
So attachment is, you know, one of the negative aspects of the mind, you know, and it comes from, you know, this phenomena called I, the self-cherishing, like mine.
Mm.
And that's why, like, you know, my daughter, my dog, my house, you know. And so it's a self-cherishing. So it comes with the ego. And like, for example, like my car. Everything that is mine, what do? You protect,
mm.
right?
Yeah.
You protect, and because you hold it so tightly, like it's, you know, like you tight, like this, you know, you hold tight.
Yeah,
tight,
with the hand.
Yeah, and then you hurt. Mm. You hurt, right? So attachment like that. It's like, you know, holding a fire that it burns. Mm. It burns you.
Yeah.
And so attachment is like that, something, you know, that because you hold so tightly of, you know, it can be anything, you know, anything, your cloth, your shoe, your relationship, and then your, you know, like anything, it can be your, you know, cat, your house, anything. When you hold so dear, so tightly, then, you know, you forget to enjoy.
Mm.
Yeah, it can be your relationship.
Yeah.
No? When you're in a relationship, like, you know, I know a friend who says, like, you know, oh, I want to marry this woman because she's so beautiful. And then you try so hard to seduce her. No?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, okay, yeah, now she's my girlfriend. And then once she's girlfriend, and then now, you know, you want to protect her, you want to have her, you want to, you know, do whatever she wants. And then at the same time, you're afraid because, you know, you're going to lose her.
Mm.
And then, you know, all kinds of things come to your mind, like jealousy, and, you know,
yeah,
and all this comes up. And then even, you know, you're always imagining, you're thinking, you know, of, you know, where she is, who she's talking to, who she's texting, you know, like who she's hanging out, all kinds of, you know, this illusory dreaming in your mind, and then you don't enjoy.
Yeah.
Because you are so attached. You're so attached that you can't enjoy.
Mm.
Like, you know, there's a fear.
Yeah.
Fear of losing it.
Mm-hmm.
No? And it's just like this, you know. It could be your house, it could be your car, it could be your clothes, it could be your jewelry, right? You buy a jewelry, or you, like, just like that, you know, you buy something very, what you call, expensive, what do you call, Dolce & Gabbana, what is that?
Yes.
That bag, or I don't know, like, yes, a jewelry, mm-hmm, what, very expensive. And then how many times a year you use?
Mm.
Maybe a few times a jewelry on a very rare occasion.
Because you want to protect it.
Yeah. And you say, oh, like, you know, I don't want to, only on a special occasion. But
yeah,
you pay a lot of money, and then you have to put it in a safe,
mm-hmm,
because you paid a lot of money.
Mm.
So there's an attachment, but also there's a fear of losing it.
Oh, that's beautiful. So attachment comes with fear as well.
Yeah, because you are so attached.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just like, you know, mother.
Yeah.
Mother are so attached to their children. And they say, oh, like, you know, my children are growing so fast, and they will leave their home.
Mm.
They will leave the home because they're growing now. They're 18, they're 19. And then once they're 18, 19, they will leave the house. And I don't want to them to leave. I have friends like this who are saying, you know, I said, because you're too attached.
Mm.
And now you're not enjoying the moment. They're here with you.
Yeah.
You're not enjoying your partner, that he or she's with you right now. You're not,
yeah,
enjoying, because you're thinking of what's going to happen.
Right.
He or she will leave me, so I'm afraid. So
yeah,
it comes with attachment. And attachment is only you're thinking about yourself, self-cherishing. Mm.
Mm-hmm. So attachment causes us actually pain and suffering, because it brings us fear. And fear is kind of not accepting that everything is impermanent, right? I mean, this reminds me something that you said before, that really remembering that something will end allows you to celebrate what it was and appreciate it when you have it.
Yeah, you know, and you know, the good news is that, you know, everything is changing.
Mm.
You know, everything's
the good news.
Yeah, good news. You know, imagine, you know, like, if nothing is changing, you know, it's life is going to be so dull,
right?
No, it's dull, you know, like everything, if everything is permanent,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be so dull. And, you know, the good news is that, you know, the beauty is that it's changing all the time. Yeah. It's never the same. And that's a beauty.
Right.
You know, even in our life, you know, people, some people don't want to grow old.
Mm.
You know, whether you like it or not, you are going to get old.
Yeah.
You're going to change. You're going to have wrinkles. You're going to have, you know, like gray hair. You're going to have, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to be disintegrate physically, mentally. And, you know, and that's, and, you know, if you don't live with that and don't appreciate and don't accept, then, you know, you are only thinking about, you know, worry and making mm-hmm. yourself so complicated.
Yeah. So is there a technique or a practice that you use in order to find acceptance for things that are maybe hard to accept?
Like what?
Like losing a loved one, like getting sick and losing your physical body.
I think, you know, every day you should wake up and appreciate, you know, you have this day.
Mm.
You should appreciate, accept, appreciate this day. Who knows, is my last day and I want to live to the fullest.
Yeah.
And you're not worried about, you know, what is coming next. And if you have that attitude, then I think, you know, you don't worry too much about the future. You're living in the moment. And when you live in the moment, then there's so much joy. Joy, fulfillment, appreciation. And you will also see that how fortunate you are. You know, when you, that how fortunate you are. Oh, I'm not, I woke up and there's a sunrise.
Yeah.
You know? And I can hear the birds. You know, I could hear, feel the breeze, mm-hmm. the waves. You know, and that is, you know, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that. You know, who knows how many days I have left, right?
Yeah.
So to enjoy, to hear, to see the sunrise, to hear the waves, never know. So I think appreciate.
Yeah.
When you appreciate, then there's so much joy.
Mm-hmm.
Joy. And then, you know, in that way you can be feel there's this sense of fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, most of the time we like to worry so much and that's not going to bring any benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's beautiful and really important point. I didn't really plan to go in this direction, but let's do it. So when we're talking about changing our clothes, could you speak a little bit about your personal beliefs about what happens after death?
After death?
Yeah.
After death, nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
But it's your flow.
Mm.
It's a flow, continuum. The stream of your consciousness will flow and go to the next rebirth. Because we believe in the law of renunciation. Reincarnation, rebirth, and karma.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a... then it will, you know, this once you leave this body, then it will take the next... form, and it does not necessarily have to be human being.
Really?
It could be animal, insect, pig, dog, elephant, fish, you know, whatever, life, because it's a continuous flow of a stream of consciousness and continuum. So it goes on like a river.
Yeah.
You know, it goes, and it looks same, but you know, but it's always moving.
Mm-hmm.
But in different form, right? Like today I'm in a human form, but who knows my life. So it has been a continuous form of a stream of consciousness.
Yeah. It's a hard concept to grasp.
Yes.
Right? For Westerners especially, but I think for many people.
We don't have to think about the death.
Mm.
It's, you can just think about now.
Yeah.
You know, you are, I am, like, for example, I am not the same Tashi of yesterday.
Yes.
You know, I am not the same Tashi of the Tashi of the moment ago.
Mm.
You know, we think I'm same. My way of thinking, my form, physically, gross level,
yeah,
and subtle level, is every day, every single minute, it's changing. Mini minute, it's changing, disintegrating, changing. You know, it's never same.
Right.
It's never same. Now we think we are same. Oh, like you look in the mirror in the morning, and it's like, oh, I'm the same Tashi of yesterday. But actually, it's not true. You know, we are all the time changing.
Right.
And but we are, you know, our deluded mind think, you know, this solid entity is the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult for us to accept the truth of change.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, like death is something gross, you know, like losing. That a big change is a drastic change and something very gross. So, but if we practice this, you know, from the very small, it won't be so hard to accept. Mm. It will be so much easier.
Yeah.
Because we think change, you know, like it's just like that. Like, for example, like, you know, we are, for us, so easy, oh, like, you know, four seasons, mm-hmm. right? Morning, afternoon, day, night. For us, it's so easy mm-hmm. to see that. And it's, for us, it's normal.
Right.
No, like, oh, the summer, spring, autumn, winter. There's always, you know, it's always going on. We don't complain. Likewise, our body.
Mm.
Our mind, it has to go through all that transformation. And for us, when it happens to us, it's difficult to accept. But then we are like, oh, it's changing. Yeah, it's a nature. It's a weather. It's a yeah. climate. No? And then we talk about that. Oh, like, you know. But then when it happens to us, then we are like scared. We panicked.
Yeah.
You know? So we are, it's difficult to accept when it's happening to us. But we take it as normal, natural, when it happens in a gross outside level, yeah. external.
I think that it's hard for us to accept things that we don't really see. Because when we look at our hand, you know, our body, we don't see, it doesn't look like it's changing. But actually, like you said, it's always dying and rebuilding and transforming. And mm-hmm. it's always happening. But because we don't see it,
yes.
we don't really experience it.
Yeah.
The things that we can see changing, like the seasons, it's easy for us to accept. But the things that we don't see, it's hard for us to accept. Yeah. And I think that's really like a very important statement about spirituality, because for me, it was a very meaningful moment when I realized there is a world that I cannot see. And I feel like that gave me a lot of kind of confidence in trusting that the changes are happening in a way that maybe is beyond my understanding, but there is some greater intelligence that is controlling it or taking care of it or something like that. And I think that's also relevant for when we speak about death. I don't know why I keep coming back to this, but I just think it's a really interesting subject, because it's really about the same, like, with our body, it also transforms into something else. It goes into the earth and becomes part of the earth. And yeah, like, the same with our soul.
Just like, you know, a body is composite of five elements,
mm-hmm.
right? And these five elements, like, you know, just like in the outer world, the universe, five elements.
Yeah.
And it happens to our body. You know, our body is composite of, you know, is a... made of, you know, five elements. We have water, heat, you know, the earth, air, mm-hmm. the space. So everything, you know, like it, every day it's changing, but we don't see it because we think, you know, we are there. We are solid. We are, mm-hmm. you know, like we are born, but like, you know, also we think we take it for granted and as a permanent entity. But intrinsically, you know, we are, you know, like breaking, disintegrating, reborn, refine every moment. And yeah. that's why people, you know, people when they are not being able to accept it, and you know, like when sickness comes, when you have, when you lose someone, when you have a you know, when your relationship is not working, then you start to blame, you know.
Mm.
You start blame, why this is happening to me? Why all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Why me, right? So it's because you're not accepting. You have a hard time accepting. And it's same thing with also a body. When we are not accepting the change in, within us, then, you know, we go to even extreme measure, like, you know, surgery. I don't know, all kinds of people pay a lot of money to change their body, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way they look and, you know, and yeah. We have to think about it, what is...
yeah, it's really kind of resisting what's happening. And when you're talking about this cycle, for me, it also reminds me that we always go through these cycles. It can be a, you know, a beginning of a job and an end of a job. And it's always, there is always this process of something starting and ending and then a rebirth after the end.
Yeah, like, you know, you see everywhere, right? Everywhere there's a, just in one day you can see all kinds of, you know, weather, windy, sometimes there's a sun and then it comes dark and it becomes windy, it becomes cloudy, it becomes, you know, like stormy, misty, foggy, just in one day.
Yeah.
And it's every, you know, and never same. It's, you know, if imagine if it's all the time sunny,
mm-hmm.
how boring it will be.
It will be hot.
Yeah, and if it, even if it's, imagine if it's all the time rainy, it's not good.
Right.
If it's all the time, like, you know, foggy, it's also not good. So it's beautiful because there's always something different changing.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. Likewise, our life, it has to somehow, has to disintegrate, transform, and, you know, reintegrate. And same like, you know, there's so the geological structure of the world, you know, the land, it's always changing, you know. And there's a mountain and then you have a lake, you have an island, you have a, you know, bay, and so all the time it's changing, it's never same.
Yeah, that actually kind of gives me hope, because I think, like, okay, so even when you're going through something hard, it's going to change. Something good is going to
yeah.
come.
The virtue of the negative is that it can be purified.
Mm.
You know, it's not that, you know, this person is bad and he's always bad. It's not like that. He can be changed, transformed, you know, repair, refine, and, you know.
Mm. That's beautiful. That's so, so true. And I think that, actually, I think our society needs more of that. Right? The hope that somebody isn't, because now there's this thing called cancel culture. Have you heard of it?
I really didn't understand, but I don't understand, but yeah, I heard.
Yeah. So if somebody makes one mistake, that's it. They're canceled and you forget about them and they're out of society in a way. And it's ridiculous because, I mean, we all make mistakes, right? Where's the room for giving somebody the opportunity to make a mistake and then
exactly
rebuild themselves?
True. That's true.
Okay, so I end each episode with closing curiosity questions.
Okay.
The first question is, what is something you've changed your mind about?
Well, I change all the time, but, like, you know, I like when I think of negative, like, I like, you know, for example, when I feel bad or when I am mad or angry with the other person, then I think, oh, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
Mm. Beautiful. What is something you didn't think you could do and you did?
I did few crazy things. I did bungee. I did skydiving.
Really?
So yeah, I thought I would never be able to do that.
Yeah. Why did you do that?
Oh, like, you know, like you, like your podcast, like, you know, I've always been curious.
Mm.
I have this curiosity all the time, you know, why people do this, why people, you know, why people are so fuzzy about this. So I said, like, you know, if somebody invites me, I'll take this opportunity. So I jumped.
Wow, that's amazing. You're like the coolest monk I know.
Oh yeah, I don't know. Do you think so?
I think so. Next, what question? What gives you hope?
I see a lot of hope in the better future, better world, because, you know, of all these young people, more and more young people are, you know, taking so many good initiatives to, you know, from the grassroots level,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's a community, whether it's, you know, like any kind of climate change or, you know, gender issues and health. So I see a lot of hope, you know, that also that the advance in technology, so you can know so many things, and I think there's hope.
Yes, beautiful. And last question, what are you curious about right now?
Great. I'm curious about, you know, right now, I'm curious about what's going to happen after I leave from here, because we have a graduation ceremony. So I don't know what they have planned. So I'm very curious.
Amazing. Just to finish up, maybe you would like to share about the stupa?
Yes. So, okay. So in Pescadero, El Pescadero, right from like in Baja California, close to Todos Santos. So we have we are creating a beautiful cross-cultural community center in Pescadero, and Enlightenment Stupa as its center. And so we will have a just to be very clear, we are not a Buddhist center. We are a community center where, you know, everybody feel welcome, inclusive, involved, and you know, open, and where, you know, we can give a lot of workshops, languages, art, painting, music, and about the cross-cultural, and about the regenerative farming activities to the local people and the expat communities. So it's a you know, a beautiful initiative that we are building, and I have learned that, you know, that community is not a service. Community, because when we say community, what do you give? What kind of service do you give? So people have that idea. And so I always tell, community is a participation.
Mm.
And participation is a service. And so that's why we are always trying to working how to bring this cultural to culture, the expat culture, the American, European, all these expats, people, young, old, who are moving to this town. And then the local Mexican coming from mainland Mexico and nearby neighboring states, coming here, moving here for work, farming, constructions. So how we can live as a community, one community in this cross diverse culture, as a one community in a very harmonious way, growing together and without fear, without division, without segregation, and how we can, you know, mix and involve and feel everybody feel included as one. And so we are creating, and so we have been doing this. We started this we have been doing this now quite a few number of kids camp. It's called Bodhi Kids Camp, where kids from the expat kids and Mexican kids, local Mexican kids, come together, play art, movement, yoga, meditation, painting, music, and then also, you know, farming. So we're doing this, and I hope this, our initiative, will bring this community together. And of course, like, you know, we will always have this stupa. In, you know, because we are creating this community center with the Buddhist principle of, you know, compassion, love, compassion in action, loving kindness, this what call joyfulness and equanimity. So that in the as its principle, so how we can bring this community together, and that's what we are doing right now.
That's so beautiful. I can't wait to visit.
Always, everyone is welcome and to join us anytime, and we will have, as we get more settled and our infrastructures are more complete. We're still building infrastructures, and we're not yet there. We're building, so everybody is welcome to participate, join, and be a part of the community.
Beautiful. Tashi, thank you so much. It was an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you so much for your invitation, and I really enjoyed.
Me too.
Thank you.
Now, after this time to nurture your mind and your spirit, we invite you to take a moment to consider others. A kind wish might come to mind. Know that what we learn becomes more valuable when we apply it and share it with others. So share this episode on Instagram stories, tag Yandara and I, or share with a loved one so that more people can benefit from it. Our hope is that the search will lead you home to who you already are, to what was always there. We'll be back next week with more inspiration, honest conversation, and insight into the energetic world around us. Thank you for listening and watching.